It's December 4th, 2012.
What?
From Pedro's show. Pedro Show at the Love Grotto here on the Pleasure Point. Brother Matt, how are you doing?
Excellent. Everything is good.
Yeah. We started the show off with John Coltrane doing I Want to Talk About You. And then Sulaco doing It's Not on Purpose. Brother Matt, we're not alone.
No.
We have the mostly silent visitor.
How's it going?
Hassan, of course.
Hello there.
But we have somebody who's got actually... You know what? You can put that down.
I figured, yeah, I could hear it kind of going, rumbling.
We got it set up pretty strong for you, Abby.
Okay, cool.
We got Abby Buffalo, our guest on. Welcome aboard, joining me and Brother Matt here on Watt for Pedro Show.
Happy to be here. Really happy to be here.
Yeah. Your voice is strong.
Oh. Okay, I couldn't tell.
Right now, Abby's getting ready for his upcoming jam that's going to happen in the next hour.
Cool.
He's got a little dance he's going to do with some pedals, it looks like, here, Brother
Matt. Cool, yeah, get the set up.
Assisted. Maybe you don't even need a guitar.
Sometimes it feels that way.
But, Abby, how long have you been making music now?
It's coming to be about 10 years in the formal sense. About.
But you just turned 21, right?
Just turned 22.
22.
It's intense.
Oh my, and a boo hoo.
Yeah.
22. So you started at 12 in a formal sense.
Mm-hmm. I was like almost 13, just about.
Okay.
It was it was fun. I started playing. It was guitar. I just picked one up. I'd taken like.
Just over in Long Beach.
Yeah, in Long Beach. I took like one guitar lesson a couple years before and didn't like it because the guy just wanted to teach me how to play like Skip to My Lou with an A7 or something. It was just kind of boring. And then I picked it up a couple years later.
Why did you want to do guitar?
I think it was because I always heard it when I was really young. Like the music I was probably, you know, exposed to was a lot of acoustic guitars and a lot of guitars, you know, and Beatles and like. Then, like, a lot of Paul Simon for some reason, too, which is really good. Just very, like, intricate guitar work and really pretty guitar work.
So around 12 came up and you asked your pop, your ma, hey, can I get a guitar? And what'd they say? You're going to get one, you're going to have to learn?
Well, there was one just hanging around and like...
Oh, you mean at your pad?
Yeah, it was an uncle that I never met, actually. And it was hanging around and I figured out how to play, like, the melody of, like, Ode to Joy or something. I was like, oh, this is pretty fun. And then my parents asked me if I wanted lessons, so I was stoked on it. I went.
But the dude was a dick. Just wanted to skip to my loo.
Oh, the first dude that I ever... That was, like, 2 years before, and I had taken, like, one lesson, learned two chords, and put it down after, like, a day.
He and killed your whole desire.
No. That was, like, before I even had a desire for it, kind of.
Oh, you mean you took lessons?
Yeah.
I'm kind of screwed up on the
timeline.
Oh,
well, I took...
Uncle donates the guitar.
Yeah.
Your parents say, hey, you want to play that? You want to take lessons?
No. First it was 2 years before that. I was probably like maybe 11, 10 or 11, probably 11 actually. And I tried taking one lesson with some dude on a different guitar and it was.
Oh, really?
It was, I don't even know what happened to that one, but it was kind of weird. And then I didn't touch it, but then I had that, maybe that was in the back of my mind, like, oh, I could pick that up again.
Yeah.
And then like 2 years later, I picked it up again and I started figuring stuff out on my own, and I was finding out what I wanted to do, play or something, whatever that was. And then from there on, then I really knew that I had something I was like, that I was loving, that I was like, I want to do this and like take it farther and get lessons now in a different way. And like, then I got lessons after that for
another teacher, second teacher.
Mm-hmm, yeah. And that was this guy named Michael Piccolo, and he was like a young college student. He taught me, like, a couple things.
This is in Long Beach?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He taught me, like, a couple chords and like, some scales that I could actually start improvising, like the blues scale, pretty much.
Yeah.
So that was, like, my start was, like, I was getting really stoked on being able to, like, not just learn a song, but to have, like, tools that you can, like, to learn the song is an important thing, but also to have, like, tools to apply to your own, like, creation over someone else's song or making your own and that kind of thing. And I was into Zeppelin.
What do you mean, like?
Like improvising, I think most.
On their tune, but like re.
Yeah.
Configuring it to your own way.
Yeah, and I think like rock and roll and like more exciting stuff to me, like, was like, you know, Hendrix and Zeppelin was like amazing to me, and I'd never really heard that from when I was growing up, but there was like just like those kinds of lead players, Jimmy Page and stuff, and that's what I wanted. So I was like, that's what I was really like. Pining after, like, really wanting to, like, play and know how to play that kind of stuff.
Put on the acoustic on this uncle's guitar. You didn't
have
an electric
yet. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would go to another music store. I would go to a music store in Long Beach called Maury's Music, and I would...
Oh, yeah.
Like, you know, yeah, remember that place? And it's still there. They just sell mostly classical stuff, because Guitar Center, of course, is, and I destroyed their electric... But I would go in there to the amp room and plug in all these funny Boss pedals. And go, whoa, distortion, and... And that was how...
Because you never had them at home.
Yeah, and then eventually I did, but that was my start. I was like,
yeah,
I knew that that was...
Just going to the store and checking it out.
Mm-hmm, yeah, just stayed there for hours, really bugging the shit out of the employees, but they were nice enough there to let people hang out and play.
Were you recording? Were you writing? Recording any of your compositions or treatments?
Then I would come up with a couple ideas, but I didn't really start recording then. I was mostly just getting my chops up as... It was just about
trying to learn off records.
Yeah, totally. Okay. Just trying to copy.
Let's
Jimmy
go. Code. Listen to some music.
Let's do it.
so pretended he did.
He did, she did, he did, we did.
She loves you, she loves you, she loves you so hard. The one person to have you cannot. But Charlie is a sinner, tell me, teacher. You put on your light and then you turn around. Silent machine is here to meet ya. Put on your light and then turn around. You lie, you lie, you lie, you lie, you lie. Religious figure. In my age, you don't count to have but a cup high. But you know some of us will see more than eye to eye. She loves you, she loves you, she loves you so hard. The one person to have you cannot. But Charlie is a sinner, tell me, teacher. You put on your life and then turn around.
Out her hair in the washroom at Preston Services, dries her hands under a notice that reads, "Have you seen this child?" Then she nurses one tea for an hour in the cafeteria, watching the truck drivers blind their fried eggs with the cutlery. It's all over her face, just waiting until the right time, the wrong lay-by. There'll be a photograph with a bad 1970s fringe and a look of uncertainty. Years later you'll know the name, but not where you know it from. And they've emptied the terraced row with compulsory purchases, reasoning that they'd make more from the ground with the people gone. So he shuffles the half a mile to the nearest post office. When lads push into the queue, he pretends he's not noticed them. And English murder, it's all over his face. Oh, low enough, cold snapper, high enough, gas bill. You'll skim the epitaph, and you'll possibly notice his name like somebody's you knew from school. There'll be an off-the-peg verse where sad has been rhymed with dad. The houses in which they've invested their city bonuses have increased the property prices and therefore the homelessness. Scabby grey anti-climb paint and withdrawn amenities. In case socialising promotes antisocial behaviour. And English murder, it's all over the place. The bunches of flowers in pedestrian precincts. Your average psychopath at least kills with a hammer or brick, not with greed and incompetence. And after 2 or 3 years may even express remorse. Thank you.
hear you in November late night outside my window, singing by Jack Baby. You say fly high about it, wanna sit outside with me, but we're slow, we'd never come back.
Biospherically speaking, as complexes of protoplasm, as machines operating at their uttermost efficiency, we humans have such pitifully limited use. And when our workings go a clunker, whoa! When all we are is a pathetic waste of cells, how can you blame the directors of the factory for taking us out back and stepping on us?
Oh, two men are in love, when two men are in life, right on target, yeah, right on target. Two men are in love, when two men are in love, when two men are in love, right on target, right on target.
Pedro Show. There was a bunch of music there. Started it off with something from Abby Buffalo, Truth Sets In. That's off your first album, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Then we heard Laugh Track by Mau Mau's. That's Rick Wilder's most recent. He's been around since the old days.
Mm-hmm. Who's that?
The 70s. He had a band called Berlin Brats.
Never heard of it.
Yeah. It was old punk Hollywood scene. Mm-hmm. And then Mau Mau's. And he's still got the band going. You should check him out.
I will.
Love Her Man by Pat Motion. That's got Petra singing. He unfortunately passed away from cancer. He's a very good friend of Pat's.
Petra Hayden?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
And then we heard something off the new Deerhoof album, 0 Seconds Pause.
Good one.
Yeah, wild.
Yeah, Velcro.
Then Silent Machine by Cat Power, her new album, Sun, Sean. She might be playing here soon, I think.
Oh, sweet.
She's on tour. Then Alan Moore with The Decline of English Murder. Alan Moore, V for Vendetta. Huh? Watchmen.
Oh, okay.
He's the guy who wrote the stories.
Oh, yeah.
The man. Yeah. Anonymous, mm-hmm. The Mask.
Yeah, Guy Fawkes.
Guy Fawkes, that's right. Mm-hmm. That was last month. That's him singing there. And then Trip to Ireland by Beat Express. Had some kids in England who are challenged. and Brother Sam, you know, with Cuz. He says the music helps these cats where other things don't in life. Music reaches them and brings them happy, makes them connect. And it's about, this tune's about a trip they made to Ireland. Then something from last tour, a band we played with in Portland. They were called Divers, and a song called Brothers. They were good. And
that was the kickoff? That's where you started?
I think the first one was Ballard. I think Portland was second. Ballard's like the north part of Seattle. And then Use by Spielgusher, Richard Meltzer's town now is Portland. But he's too sick to see me. He had a flu.
Oh, bunk.
Hey, Coast Town 2's been coughing. Bad cough.
Cold trip. Man.
And Christmas Parade, huh? We were here at Dirk's Pad.
Oh, yeah.
Cool.
Safari,
and it kind of sprinkled, you know, but the downpour at least waited for the last.
Oh, that's cool. Was it all right? Cool.
Guys with the crosses, of course. You know, not part of the parade, but kind of part of the parade, right? Also, they were at the front of the parade, too. You know, they love a crowd. They just love it. But I guess these cats living above his shop. One young man gives me a CD. Here's my new album, Watt. And it's called Some Days, and here's a song off there called I. Some ladies, too, we're playing the third hour, called The Fly Traps, gave me their tape.
Oh, bitchin'.
Yeah. And Randy Stadola was there. He's brought back the Alley Cats.
Yeah.
I'll play some next show.
Very
Sounds
cool.
good. Barilli's on drums.
Yes, they just love it.
Yeah. Oh, and finally, The Hags. When Two Men Are in Love, something live. That. God, what was his name? Bob dead, Mark dead. He's dead. Yeah, he passed away in the 90s. But they were a trippy band. I saw them on YouTube's got these Wally George. Remember that cat?
Yeah.
He was on the
he
show.
He was like pre-Rush Limbaugh.
Yeah. Wally George was married 6 times.
Wow.
Yeah. I was looking up his stuff, but I saw, the fucking... Yeah, the Hags. They were an intense band.
Oh, did they play it on Wally George?
Well, it was like kind of like you're a disgusting, right? Disgusting guest. I think he was playing, and you know how dudes worked him up, and they're almost like he was in on it, you know? I don't know.
Like you remember seeing El Duce on there.
Duce was on there, yep. A lot of cats were, and it was on kind of that level, like how disgusting, you know? I think Marquetta. That's his name. Was his name Mark Dead? And he had a plan. Like we got to lower the population, you know. And then, so of course, Wally George is going off on that. I guess he passed away in the early 2000s. Wally George.
His daughter was that actress.
Yeah, a few daughters.
Yeah, Rebecca.
Yeah, go look on Wikipedia. You know, some of those cats they fade from your memory, and then all of a sudden, you know, you see it, it's like, yeah, I remember he was like on an Orange County UHF station.
Yeah, Channel 52 or 56 or something like
KOC
that. KOC
or something. Sorry to annoy you, get all caught up in that shit. We're all, Brother Matt was taking a little stroll down memory lane.
Yeah.
But actually, we're coming on the end of the first hour, the November 12th, or November, December 4th.
Oh,
7-4, 2012 edition, Watt for Pedro show. Hang tight for hour 2. More with, I guess, Abby Buffalo. December 4th, 2012. It's the second hour of the Watt from Pedro show.
What happened to love in his first day? Tell me what should be in store. Be adventurous, show what you're made of, yeah. All this time to die. All this time to die. Too much time to die. Don't you wish that you could smile? Try your hardest, show what you're made of. 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 Thank you.
there's no way to hide from such a lovely ride.
You know. I got a new theorem for n greater than 3. It's not a lemma, it's not a corollary. I got a new theorem knocking on my front door. I got a new theorem, I couldn't ask for more. A new result, baby, for simple groups of motorboats. At first glance, there was no chance, and I slowly pulled out of my head. But a second try, you burned side, it proved it almost everywhere. I got a new theorem, it's all over the place. I got a new theorem for a compact outdoor space. I bound on the eigenvalues as a function of the trace. My first thought was that I got no results because I was a retard. But when a colleague said what you need, get a brand new start. He said you're pushing too hard. Never be true, but when I saw it in the journal, credited to well hung new, then I knew I'd been screwed. I had a new theorem, but I don't got it no more. I lost a new theorem when I gave up the store. Competition's fierce, to publish in the literature.
Pedro Show. Started off the second hour with something from Abby Buffalo. Where's Your Dirty Mind? Isn't there supposed to be a question mark there? No?
Yeah, I think I might have, like, I don't know if I put it on the track listing or not. Okay. I might have left it off on purpose or something weird.
And then we heard, yeah, interesting song.
Thanks.
I mean, this is... This is the first album. This is after you put together a band. So we're talking years from this, just reworking stuff off people's records, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a few years after. I mean,
a few years?
Yeah.
We'll get to it in a second. I'll read off the tunes here. Yeah. After that, something brand new from Jack Grisham, TSOL singer. He's got a band called The Manic Low, and that's a brand new album Paul Rosser recorded.
He used to play with his nephew.
Called, really?
Yeah.
Wow. First called band. Choked Out in a Candy Store. Then we heard a Schmegma song by the Dippers. The Dippers got the same drummer, John Maloney, that's also in Thurston Moore's Chelsea Light movie. John Maloney. They want to come to town sometime this spring. John Maloney, Thurston Moore, and who's the guitar man? Keith Wood. And they want to go to Casa Hanzo Pizzas.
Oh, nice.
And Thurst wants to play bass and have me, you know, stumble around on the guitar, and he wants to do this thing called instant songwriting, where you just come up with the tunes. He won't call it improvising, but
yeah,
instant songwriting.
Like that.
So that's the proj. God damn. The name eludes me. It's from a Richard Meltzer poem. Oh, yeah, Fatal Jack Off on the Moon. That's the name of the proj.
Cool.
And then we heard Burn, Don't Run by Excelsior. At Excelsior, of all the names. And that Burn, Don't Run, it's actually you heard it. It's a mixture of Telstar and Burning Up. Which is what? What do they call with the V's? Venturis? Ventures?
Oh, the Ventures, yeah. Telstar.
Burning
Up by the Ventures.
No, Telstar. And then Burning Up's Madonna. That's what they mixed.
Burn, Don't Run. Right?
maybe that's not Telstar. That's Walk, Don't Run, right?
Yeah.
Right band, though.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I think Borelli's Pop played drums a lot of years for Ventures.
Ventures, yeah?
Yeah. Not original cat, but fill her in. Death Rites in Oregon after that by Hounds of the Wild Hunt. Hounds of the Wild Hunt actually opened for us on the first gig of the tour in Ballard at Tractor Tavern. That's what it was called. And then the Blood Train Cows, they're out of Santa Fe, New Mexico. That's got Greg Turner from the Angry Samoans. And the song called A New Theorem, which makes sense because he teaches math there at the university. Yeah. And then in Greek, K-R-I-J-T, Greek. It's a Dutch, so it's got to be about 99% in the throat there, by GFR. And then Freesia with Abominable Love. Have you heard these cats? They're a synthesizer groove, trip psyche. Yeah, I think they're from the Val here. I've been playing their stuff. Mr. Tom turned me on to them. And finally, Toys That Kill with I Don't Want to Be Around. Now, Toys That Kill, I get to play with them Saturday.
Yeah,
the lot across from Sacred Grounds on 6th Street. Yeah, I think we play at 5 o'clock, but the event goes from 1 to 8. Danny Lou's putting it on. He was on the show last week with his son. I saw his son play Saturday night at Harold's. He was doing drums for Pastelevision, which has really got a thing on the Wipers. And they even covered a Wipers song, Close to the Edge. Yeah. He's doing good. He's 16 years old, Jacob.
Cool, Jacob Rocks.
Smoking it up. And I think he's going to open up that gig with Kid Kevin in the band Kid Little.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. So,
that'll be a good
Kid
time.
Kevin's got a studio here, Cali Mucho. He lives in the old Peck Manor with Raul.
Oh, cool.
They turn that into a whole bunch of pads, and they do T-shirts out of there, the whole thing. And during daytime, Kevin's a teacher, like Brother Matt.
Oh, okay, cool.
That's a cool way to use that empty lot with the Rusty Dinosaur.
With the Rusty Dinosaur, right. But it's got grass now.
Cool.
Because of the rain.
Maybe a little park.
And I went to the Annex when I was at Dirk's to look at the parade. I got actually pulled in there by people.
Oh, cool. Did you get to talk to Alan? Did you meet him?
there were some ladies who worked with him. And also, what's his name? James Allen.
Oh, yeah.
His brother was there.
Oh. Yeah. So it's a cool new layout?
Yeah, it's on the side now, the stage. You probably don't know what we're talking about.
No,
we're talking about trying to get music happening in Pedro. It's kind of hard.
Yeah.
Oh, I found out why the Triumph Arts Festival ended.
Oh.
The guy died in that wheelchair.
Oh.
Yeah, those people, he was kind of at war with them.
Oh.
The art community is divided.
He's a big funder?
Beyond, something in the fall after that show. Because I met him at that show. He was in his little chair wheeling around. This one was by the water.
Mm-hmm.
The one before was over on 6th Street.
Yeah.
He used to put on festivals.
Yeah, because it's hard. The underground here in Pedro has to be underground because we don't get to play any reindeer games, you know.
What do you mean?
When there are city gigs here at Point Furman and stuff.
It's not the underground
band. There's a closed club.
I know, man. It's weird. It's like that in Long Beach, too.
It's like anywhere. Humans like to organize into their little good old boy clubs, you know.
Yeah, for sure.
It's funny.
Nice safe picks.
But at least you get to keep them. your own... Like,
well, there's the other thing, too, man. If any farmer would tell you, if you want a good crop, use a lot of manure. So, say keep it coming. So, we're going to have this gig here, Danny Lou's putting on, and Todd's going to play Toys That Kill, and me and my Missing Man, not doing opera, but just doing songs, and a bunch of other bands, too, Pedro bands.
Yeah.
It's, Danny, we were talking about him last week. He's a guy, a motivator.
Gets
things happening.
Yeah.
He's a good cat. Good.
A long history of making shit happen.
Yeah. So, getting back to you're just jamming and stuff, and you're into Jimmy Page and Jimi Hendrix.
Mm-hmm, totally. And Wes Montgomery was.
And Wes Montgomery. That was about the same.
Yeah.
There.
That was cool. That was a whole different like thing. That was like somebody gave me a Smoking at the Half Note.
Yeah.
Wynton Kelly on piano and stuff, and I think it's Paul Chambers on bass.
Yeah,
and
Mr. PC, there's Coltrane. So.
Yeah, I love him. But yeah, it was rad. That
it was incredible bassist.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and Wynton Kelly's amazing too. I mean, all of them. It's like that's the cool thing about jazz.
So you just stumbled. Somebody brought you those records. I could see Led Zeppelin and Jimi Hendrix. You know, they were more like for young people and stuff. But getting turned on to jazz, how'd that happen?
I think Wes Montgomery might have been the first one, kind of. I mean, he might have been the first jazz guitarist.
Yeah, but how did he get over to you?
Just this guy I knew named Josh.
Your age?
CD. No, he was like 28.
Older.
Family friend, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Hey, you listen to these other guitar players, why don't you check out this man? It was like that?
Yeah, he was like, oh, this record. And then I just loved that. And then that changed. I mean, I was going off ear a lot of the time.
Yeah.
I mean, I had some theory, but I had still do have a lot of holes in the theory.
Yeah.
So, mixed between the ear and a little bit that I knew. And Wes, the cool thing about Wes Montgomery is that he's a blues player, and he's also a ear player.
Yeah.
So there were riffs that you can pick up from him that are, like, more intuitive than technical and really beautiful because they were so natural. So I came to really like that. And John Coltrane
Where'd you find out about Nels Klein?
Through Wilco, which is interesting the way that, like, I think about Nels's role in Wilco, my love for Wilco when I was really young. I was like into a couple record, like two records they made like intensely, and basically everything. I was pretty obsessed. But Yankeetail Foxtrot and A Ghost Is Born are the ones I got into. And afterwards, I think after A Ghost Is Born tour is when Nels joined.
Yeah.
So that was like, that was when I just was like, oh, this guy Nels Klein, this is crazy. And I was surfing the web and clicking on little links to side projects.
Because they're a Chicago band, you know.
Yeah, totally. I mean, yeah.
Good, but now he's actually a SoCal guy, but you didn't know. In
Long when
Beach,
I found out he was.
What about, you mean the banging gigs at Piazza's?
Mm-hmm, yeah, the first time I saw Nels was this weird thing, this place, the El Corral.
Yeah.
Off Melrose, when it still existed, and it was like a noise set he did with this guy, Jeremy Drake, which was really, really cool.
Yeah.
And then saw Banyan, and then it was like, whoa, and saw you playing, and it was
But it comes out of you listening to Wilco.
Yeah, and it really,
I got to thank Mr. Tweedy then for...
Yeah, for sure. I mean, that guy made me think about writing songs, like, kind of my own. It was, like, the first thing I heard that was a blend between stuff I heard from 40 years before and things that were totally new on those records and Jim O'Rourke produced, and that stuff really blew my mind. And so that got me into, like, thinking of, like, oh, here's this medium, like of songwriting and like different things. You take different things from different people for different like different ideas of how you make a song.
A la carte.
Mm-hmm.
So are you recording at this point in your life?
Yeah.
Original songs? You're starting to write songs?
Yeah, I'm writing a
ton. What about putting together a band? Are you at that point yet?
Well, back then. It was weird. I started out writing songs, and then first I was in that band with my friend Dylan Wood, and we were called Monogram, so he thought that was neat, and he lived off a street called Monogram.
So that's the first band you ever were.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that was like wah pedals and fun, you know, it was a jamming, and it was very improv-based, and I kind of wrote songs really quick, and it was good, it was really loud, and I was like,
A duet?
It was a trio. We had alternating bass players, but first it was this guy Baron, who was really good. He's like a guitar buddy of mine, and he played guitar and bass, and then a guy named Nathan Eckhouse, and all kind of rotated around to like another dude too. But me and Dylan, Dylan's the drummer, had a really good, like, really strong bond. Just like, I don't know, all of us would just, no matter what, we just get in a room and just want to crank it up and play for like 3 hours straight on one thing.
But you didn't end up with these guys.
Well, I still know them and still play with them. But then I wanted to do my own thing. I started recording just by myself, just for fun, with like a computer mic and this program called Audacity that you can download for free.
Sure, it's open source.
Yeah, and that was fun. And then I like was discovering weird stuff with recording on my own acoustically, but then like doing stuff like I'd record without headphones I'd overdub without headphones because I didn't even like realize what would happen or feedback. I had no concept of it. But then it would be like I would notice it, but then I would kind of like the way the reflections of the sounds would come out again, and then interesting double tracking stuff. And I was just kind of going off my intuition. And that was when I was like finding out like, oh, there's this world of when you record, it's like this interesting like finality, but you have like complete control over it, which is really, it's really lucky, I guess.
Different a gig.
Yeah. It's different. Yeah. So I like that. And then I started putting together, I got asked to put those on MySpace.
What you do with these guys, this is before the Ivy Buffalo
band. Yeah, yeah,
Monogram.
Yeah.
There's a lot of jamming.
Yeah, well, there were songs, but there'd be, like, solo sections. There'd be, like, a lot of them. And when there weren't, it was just very loud and very loud.
Right, we weren't really jamming and improvising.
Yeah, yeah, we weren't really
jamming. We're going to give you a chance to do that now with Brother Matt here.
Cool, let's do it.
In the spin cycle.
Yeah. Okay.
Come on, baby, and play that song. Come on, baby, baby, baby.
Thank you very much, Brother Matt.
Cool, thank you.
Guest jammer.
Yeah, that was great.
Conspirator, collaborator, Avi Buffalo on guitar.
That was fun mixing.
Man, you were working
between.
All that stuff. I don't think anyone says nails all that gear there.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's nuts with it. But, yeah, that was cool the way you were.
But he plays mixing. That little acoustic backpacker.
Yeah, I want to hear that. You guys have that somewhere?
All it's the on, shows are on live.
What year is that?
TWFPS.com. We'll just do... do a Google search, do site, site, colon, TWFPS.com, and Nels Klein in quotes.
And you'll find the different ones with him, yeah.
You'll see the...
I like that boat interview you did with him.
Right, on the way up San Francisco.
Oh, cool. Was that really?
Right?
Probably it was since the tweet interview.
You're talking about it riding in the boat or on the boat with Brother Matt.
I think you and Nels were literally in a boat.
Yeah, we were Skipper Jeff. Yeah.
Skipper Jeff took us out to the harbor.
Yeah. That's sweet.
Actually, I did one where the boat was tied up. It never moved. But we did one where the boat actually moved. But then there was one with Nels Klein.
Yeah.
The drive up to San Francisco. Me and him talked all the way. It's an interview on one of these Walk for Beauty.
Yeah, he's like talking about his Volvo and stuff.
That's right.
Yeah.
And I think there was a Mitsubishi or something that he abandoned. The tour just beat it up. You know?
Whoa,
let it go.
That's amazing.
Let it go.
That's a cool story.
I think somewhere in Oregon or something.
Whoa.
It's like, somewhere.
Somewhere. Good place for this.
So, Brother Matt was laying out them grooves for you, and what were you thinking?
Well, it was intense.
Was it like Monogram?
No, it was very different. It was
more
cool.
Quiet?
Yeah, I like that kind of thing. I like the mixing, the levels in and out is really neat, and the drops you're doing.
Cool,
so I was trying to play to that and trying to make some layers. Sometimes not always trying to watch my lead junkie thing and trying to kind of my guitar player syndrome and trying to kind of do some layers to blend in too.
Cool. Some people get scared. Remember who we have? We had Laura Meyer-Rotten. She's an incredible musician, but doesn't do improvising.
What does she play?
So we put her in a situation with the organ or something.
Cool.
And she froze up. She got scared.
I'm the opposite way. Yeah. Although I get
Everybody's
scared too.
Everybody's different,
Yeah. I don't know. It's tough. I mean, I notice a lot about classical players. Sometimes people
need music in front of them, right?
Yeah. Although I have a cousin who'd played cello his whole life, and then he went to college. Took some piano classes and started teaching himself little glass pieces.
Yeah.
And then he transferred. He had this ability to improvise on the piano. He transferred it over to the cello, which was really cool. I was stoked on that for him. He sounded really good doing it because he was using all these old. If you can do both, you can ingest like that the Bach or whatever it is you've learned and actually put that into your improvisation. And that's like my favorite kind of thing. I think
getting influenced from something else totally different.
Yeah, eating somebody else's notes. Yeah. And then like spitting it back out.
It didn't seem like you were too afraid. It seemed like you...
Yeah, not at all.
A little tepid at first to the water.
Yeah. There were some ins and outs, I felt like.
That's all right, man.
That's how it goes.
You didn't know what was coming, Brother Matt. Pitches.
It was fun, though. I liked the level.
Catcher was throwing them signs. Third base coach was throwing some signs.
It's fun.
Privileged to that.
Yeah. Well,
we're at the end of the second hour of December 4th, 2012, edition of Watt for Pedro Show. And Brother Matt, along with our guest, Avi Buffalo. Hold tight for hour three.
I'm not picking the right music or something. I think that music all kind of worked cool.
I like when the lady came in singing.
Uh-huh.
Who is that?
That was Spangle.
Oh, Spangle?
Yeah.
Whoa, those
you
guys
know about him? I should introduce this.
That's it.
December 4th, 2012. It's third hour of the Watt from B-Row Show.
Hey, this is Mitch Mitchell from Gotta Be Winston, and you better go get the latest release of Blind Pigeons Records, or I'm going to come and find you. And I'm going to make you buy it.
How many pigeons?
I'm serious.
With words.
never be allowed to walk right next to you and be that one that you want to. I tell you day and night that I can't feel you with my right hand. Go on and tell your friends how I can rearrange my skin. They've made up stories based on me so everyone could feel at ease. Oh, I can tell that you feel alive, and I won't disturb you in your time of rebirth. Please, when you're taking your time with me, please tell me that I'm making you feel weary. It's not the age with your kisses. I know it's not allowed, but you sure didn't seem to mind it. You continue being so kind, I don't think that I could stop trying. I saw you out today just walking back from some hot place where you had Rob M. Drive t-shirts and some pre-made pie crust. You made dessert that night, I could taste a robot's fist. Oh, I can tell that you feel alive, and I won't disturb you in your time of rebirth. Please, when you're taking your time with me, please tell me that I'm making you feel weary. It's not the age I feel when by your side.
For Pedro Show, start off the third hour with Circus Fire doing Jewelry Tree. That's a God, what's that label out of Lancaster, I think, in the middle of Pennsylvania? Pigeon, something Pigeon. A great compilation they just put out. And great label. Damn it. That's so stupid. I'll get it for you next show, brother man. After that, we had Written in the Wind by Eiko Ishibashi. Eiko-san brought me this. This is not... She's Kobayashi, not Ishibashi.
Yeah, yeah. I was like, what's
Eiko-san,
that?
Eiko-san, Ishibashi, this is a companion of Mr. Jim O'Rourke.
Oh, sweet.
And I think he's on this, right, playing? Yeah.
Oh, cool. So. What is he playing on it? All sorts of stuff?
Yeah, I think piano for sure, but she's a keyboard player also.
Ishibashi?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, it's the farming family out there in Palos Verdes.
That was a very famous one. Issei from a long time ago, 100 years ago.
Yeah.
What?
Very, very fun. Famous. Then we heard Summer Come by Abby Buffalo, but it's a weird version.
Oh, which
version? Just you by yourself. Some friend of yours, I think, videotaped you doing.
Oh, cool.
It's not your band. But I want to get into your band.
Mm-hmm.
How'd the Abby Buffalo band arise out of your experience with Monogram, and then leaving that and going back to playing guitar by yourself?
Yeah, I mean, I basically wanted to... I was having a lot of fun with a quiet... With a hot microphone and a quiet instrument, and that's what got me into... I was started recording stuff for Monogram just on my own and then bringing it in and play it live with them a little bit, and then, like, that's how I got really interested in that kind of stuff, and I started just making my own songs. I was really hung up over a girl, so I just, like, started doing that.
You made songs for a woman.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that was neat. And then And then I got out, I put it on MySpace, and the way that they get shows these days is you put a song on MySpace, and maybe or something like that, or Bandcamp now, I guess, whatever, and then someone hears it and asks you if you want to play a set. So I was like, okay, whoa, live, I've never thought about that. So I got together just a few friends with, like, percussion instruments, second guitars, and keyboards, just thinking, well, okay, what did I overdub, what do I need to get the songs across?
Live, at a gig.
Yeah. And then we played at this place in Long Beach called Zephyr Vegetarian Cafe. Sure. It was put on by my friend Bill Cutt.
I saw Calvin there.
Calvin. Who's Calvin?
K.
Calvin K? That sounds familiar. Calvin Johnson.
Calvin Johnson? Oh. K Records.
Oh, Calvin K Records. Johnson. Oh, okay. That's tight. Yeah, I like a lot of K stuff. Street?
That's where it was.
Yeah.
Near the downtown.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right there.
East Art Zone or whatever it's called.
Yeah, yeah. The East Village Arts District. Yeah. It's a funny place. Funny concept, too. Kind of similar to, I think, what you've said a little bit about, like music scenes and, like, Pedro or anywhere being, like, oh, there's the official art scene, and then there's, like, the one
yeah,
that's actually the people.
Yeah, that's a distinctive trip over there in Long Beach. It's not Pedro. It's not Orange County. It's not Hollywood. It's not South Bay. It's totally its own deal. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's Long Beach.
Yeah. But yeah, that was where we played our first show, and it was really fun. And my friend Andrew Selleck, who I play in a band with now called The Wild Bunch, and that's Adam Selleck, and that's Adam's brother.
Yeah.
And he played some guitar and some bass, and then everybody just kind of trade instruments. Then, and it was acoustic, and it was put on by my friend Bill Cutts, who's also a really important figure because he was like the guy that was like, it was like, oh, you should come play a show of this stuff, and I was really excited because he's slightly older and like he had this thing called Starburst Crystal Ensemble and it was like this kind of freak folk type of thing and he was a really cool guitar player and really interesting like jumbled up kind of mixed between like kind of like punk folk type of stuff and that was kind of the whole show was sort of weird stuff like that like there was this guy named John Till who like played a classical guitar but like took his shirt off and got on a chair and started doing weird you know like cool stuff yeah. like that And then that was basically the start. I played a couple more shows like that, and then there was my friend Paul Marufis, who's now in Oakland. He's all into the, he's a really smart dude and writer, and he's into the Occupy thing. He's getting really into Occupy anarchist stuff, which is interesting to talk to him about. Sometimes I take some and leave some, and it's interesting. But he put on an amazing show. We were in high school, named after his last name, called Marufest. And then that was like I had played it with Monogram, and it was like he would do it biannually, pretty much, and. So we, I guess by month, I don't know, it depends, he put on a few of them, to, like, spread them out so they'd be a big deal each time it happened. And it was like, oh, Marufest is going to come up, and I want to, like, I'm really stoked on this project. I want to put together, like, a live band. So I'd been working on a thing with my friend Joel Jasper, who is, like, a guitar player guy, and we were starting this thing called Artie Writer and the Get Crazy, just as kind of a funny thing. I was writing songs like, oh, it's different than Monogram, it's a little cleaner, a little tighter, but it's, like, it's fun. And then a couple of those cats and that band rejoined their old band. And so it was like, oh, I guess Artie Writer isn't happening. And then Joel, like, backed me up. And then we got together a couple other people I knew, my friend Sheridan, who I've played with since seventh grade, my drummer. She's amazing, really good. And she's also really intense. And we always shared, like, the passion for not only rock music, but also, like, getting into jazz, improv, and, like, stuff like that, and, like, she's a huge Elvin Jones fan, Art Blakey, and all those types of people, as well as Bonham and, like, all that stuff. So she played, and a keyboard player, and Andrew Selleck played bass, and we just, like, just went for it, and then just played shows and played Marufest, and that was it, and then we just kept playing shows in L.A.
Okay.
Eventually, you know, kept going.
We'll get later on to it.
Yeah.
But I just want to know how you started.
Yeah.
In your own trip. Was this called Abbey Buffalo? How did you get that name?
I was named it by my friend in middle school who was, like, named Isaac Cruz. And he was like, what if I was Isaac Lightning and you were Abbey Buffalo? And we were just, like, best friends. And we'd hang out and talk about music and stuff like that. And then that was it.
That's where it
kept
came
it. Up. Yeah.
Okay, what do you think of these opera stuff?
Third op, your music?
Not just mine, because I've been getting some. For the next few shows, I'm going to play some of the stuff I got.
Mm-hmm.
Like this one here is a band from Hawaii called Vodara Death Ray, and they did a 17-minute opera called
the Boss EP. We're going to play that right now.
Cool.
Next show, I've got something from a guy in upstate New York who did, it's like 24 hours in the life of a hotel man all on bass. And each part's an hour.
Wow.
So there's 24 parts.
Wow.
And after that, we got Paul Rossler's The Ark, which is his big opus from teenage days. He's finally realized it. So for the next three shows, we'll have an opera each. So
cool.
Right now, I'm going to play you The Boss EP by Vidara Death Ray.
Yeah. But his words, I felt it. I could test it. The human. Everything he was saying, while the drone is in the background, I don't even know what he's dreaming about. No offense. You guys need to wake up.
Wake up.
I don't even know what he's dreaming about. But all of this is in the legend.
Pedro Show. That was the Boss EP from Vidara Death Ray from Hawaii. See, even there, there's a need.
What island?
To compose operas. I think it's Oahu. The Mersh one. But still, it's the island. There's really a lot of music from there. You don't think it lives there? It's Taj Mahal.
Kauai. Right? Kauai. My friends see him sitting on the beach playing a lot of times.
He's on a tour. He's playing some gigs on the mainland here. Taj Mahal, incredible cat.
He's great.
Check out his music. He goes back to the 60s and stuff.
Yeah, he's like a musical historian, too.
Oh, man. Something else.
Like the way
This trippy, talking about rock and roll things, something called the Rock and Roll Circus that Rolling Stones do.
Oh, yeah, mm-hmm.
He's the one who opens it up.
Well.
He's incredible. Yeah, they got blown away by The Who doing a quick one, so they never let it be released. But it's, the last few years it got released. It was made in 68 or 60.
Yeah, total all-star jam.
Yeah, there's a jam with John Lennon and Keith Richard on bass, Yoko Ono, and who else? Eric Clapton or something? I mean, there's all kinds of people jamming along.
Yeah, all this stuff.
So the Avi Buffalo Band.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's doing gigs. It's going out of town.
Yeah.
Some label from out of town wants to do an album with you.
Well, that happened an interesting way because I met this dude. We played a show and I met this guy named Aaron Embry. And here's where Aaron Embry comes into play. And he's an amazing piano guy. I didn't really know much about him or who he'd played with and stuff like that. But we played a show together at a place called Pear Space. I think you probably know Pear Space.
Sure.
Yeah. And like
by the old Filipino town.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right in there on Glendale. And it was that was really fun. He was a really nice guy, interesting, like hippie dude. I was like, oh, who's this guy? He seems like he's done a lot of drugs or something. But he's an amazing person, and we a really amazing smart guy and like loving person. And he just said, hey, you want to come and record just for fun, like your songs, and just go try something out. And so I went up and we just started messing around, and he was teaching me all sorts of stuff, and he just would set up a mic and be like, whoa, this is crazy. It was like home studio, but it was legit. And then we just started tracking. Actually, The Summer Come was the first song I tracked with him, recorded with him. And that was the start of making the record. Me and him messing around on tracks and having different people come in to play on them. And around the time, like the live band, we were like just like people who were around to play with me then were just going for it, just playing shows a lot. We played Mr. T's Bowl and Arlo, the sound guy over there, sure. Is a really cool dude. And he's still there, even though they have new management, he's still there, which I'm really glad. I haven't played there in a while. But that place, Pear Space, just anywhere really to take us, whether it's Long Beach or L.A., people would ask us, and we'd never turn down a gig, which was a little MySpace lesson I had learned from Nils, reading that he learned a lot from never turning down a gig. So I was like, well, I want to learn a lot, so I'm never going to turn down a gig. And then that was So that was cool. And then just kept going. And then after doing a couple songs, I think Aaron had been, like, coincidentally or whatever, talking to A&R guy from Sub Pop, and that guy had been, like, listening to my home stuff and been, you know, into it, and then saw that I posted up one of the ones I did with Aaron and, like, called him up and was like, hey, this is interesting, and, like, was interested in putting it out or something. It was, like, very vague at the time, but it seemed like, well, that's why they're calling kind of thing. And then, so we were just like, okay, we just had, you know, half of the record track then and just kept tracking. And then all that, you know, the label mumbo jumbo and all that stuff and all the, like, the waiting and all that kind of thing. And then just kept playing shows and did a little residency at the Echo and in May 2009 or something like that. And then we just went on tour and... straight out of high school, pretty much straight out of high school, just started touring. But it was weird. My senior year, I was recording with Aaron, and it was a trip. I didn't realize at first, but this guy played piano for Elliot Smith and Jane's Addiction. Actually, at some point, he was like a session dude. Like maybe I don't know if Perkins or Perry Farrell like called him in to be a keyboard session guy. He played with Willie Nelson, all sorts of stuff. So he was just like an amazing keyboard player and awesome teacher. Like really like. Awesome light to be around, even though he'd like played with all these people and was so amazing at music. He was so humble and so playful at the same time with how he made it, and that was like really like was this whole new world to me. It was like I'd had mentors before, like I'd had a really amazing mentor named Joel Weinberg who taught me a lot when I was like 14, 15. I played at a blues club with him. That was really formative for like 2-3 years. With him and a bunch of other older dudes, like 50-plus type guys.
Well, that's a new story. You didn't mention that before.
That was really special.
Sidecar.
Yeah.
Sidecar. Let's listen to some more music.
have your crayons and paper?
Do you have your crayons and paper?
Thank you.
Thank you.
our Forbidro show, our last music. You just heard Five Kittens and an Old Dog by Hirotaka Shimizu, new solo mini album. And ahead of that was The Furious Harpy Followed Me Everywhere. This is a buddy of Nelson's. Her name's Ava.
Oh, Ava Mendoza.
Yeah.
She's great.
She's got a band called Unnatural Ways.
She's really good.
She's playing this weekend, but it's the same thing as this Pedro gig that I got to do, so I can't see her.
Oh, which one? What are you playing this week?
We're playing Saturday here on 6th Street across from the Sacred Grounds Coffee House in the open field. I talked about Danny Lou's getting half.
With Missing Man?
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, but not the opera, just songs.
Oh,
Sleep Tight by the Fly Traps. This is those ladies that gave me the tape a few days ago. Zombie Lover by Basho. And start off with Time Honored Tradition by Creamy Electric Santa. And the tradition is coming up for Creamy Electric Santa. Abby Buffalo, well, thank you so much for being on the show. What would be your advice to a young person getting into music?
I would say that just follow what you love and play, and like every day a lot. And discipline is important, but find the way to make discipline, like, I guess find the way to make discipline really fun, like whatever it is. I don't know. It's a trip, but it's a balance. And sometimes, I don't know, just kind of go for it and just love it. Try to play what you love, I guess. I don't know. There's all sorts of advice.
That kind of covers it all. Go for it, but be disciplined.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Have fun being disciplined.
That makes sense to me.
Yeah. Find the fun in it.
Brother Matt, thank you so much for your always essential aid in a bit. Abetting. Abby, once again, thanks for being our guest on the show.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, righteous.
It was a kick-ass time.
And good luck to you. Making a second album, huh?
Yeah, working on it now, recording at my house. Pretty fun. Yeah.
It's been the December 4th, 2012 edition of the Live for Pedro show. And if anybody in Pedro tomorrow at 4 o'clock, go down to by Utro's Fisherman Wharf and see the unveiling of the ghost fish. Okay. Everybody, it's this kind of season. Be careful. Always be careful, but especially this month.
The weather.
And next week we'll be back. We got Brother Matt's got somebody who does.
The Russian TV dude doesn't look like he's gonna be able to make it. They got a job or something.
Oh damn!
But I was thinking of the other the Fountain Muse who did the show at Warner's.
Okay.
Yeah, so I was thinking of getting.
So we're going to bring somebody in. Brother Matt's got a Pedro connection.
Oh,
next
cool.
show. It's been December 4th, 2012, edition of Pedro show. Keep your powder dry.
Yeah.